Have you ever heard of a yoke? Now, I'm not talking egg yolks, mind you. All right, though those I suppose we could have some fun with, depending on how you look at it. But a yoke in the old days was used as a piece of equipment, okay? And this yoke, we had a couple different purposes, but the one that we're going to focus on today is for training, okay? And you may remember an oxen or even horses or something like that, where they would put their heads through this yoke, and it was a dual thing, all right? And then they would pair together to train a young, inexperienced oxen, if you will, ox, with one that is trained, maybe older and wiser, okay? And so they would pair these two together in an effort to train the young, strong, yet inexperienced one. And so if they're paired together, the young, inexperienced one couldn't wander off or make lines that are like this, all right? But it would be, in a sense, attached to the older, maybe not so strong, yet wiser ox. Okay? And so, in so doing, it would teach the younger one, the stronger one, the inexperienced one, it would teach them how to plow and how to keep a straight line and how to obey the master's commands, and maybe the taps. They would use a stick or a whip or something like that to tap them if they would go off course or things like that. And there's a lot of different things that go into this, and there's different styles, if you will, of doing these things. But as you can see, they're barred, attached together, and they work together, and the younger one learns from the older one, okay? And in God's Word, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, wives, sometimes I would imagine that you would like to put your husband in one of these things, but we're not going to talk about that today. I heard an amen back there. I would have to second that. Matthew, turn with me. Chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Now let's just stop right there before we get too far into this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Okay? Now notice these oxen are beasts, if you will, of burden. There was even groups that sang about beasts of burden. Come on, let me hear it. Rolling Stones, thank you very much. Never be your beast of burden. Okay. The Lord is saying, come to me. And so he's beckoning us, isn't he? He's calling us and he's saying, come to me if you are weary and burdened. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt weary and burdened? And you know what? You can fill in the blanks with the things in your life that cause you to be weary or heavy burdened. It could be physical things, all right? It could be a bad hip. It could be cancer. It could be a bad back. Many of you right here within the sound of my voice are suffering physically, and it can bring you down in a hurry. Other things, depression. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you're going through a job change. Maybe you lost your job, and you can fill in the blanks, and it can just go on and on. But you know where you are. Relationships. All right? So many of these things can cause us to be weary and burdened, and it's as if we're carrying this weight literally on our shoulders. And those weights can get mighty heavy. Jesus knows that. And I don't know if you have a Bible, a red letter edition, where the red letters represent the words that Jesus spoke himself. But this is in red letter, and Jesus is saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," and listen to what he says. "I will give you," what?
Rest.
I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Come to me, he says. Let me remove the weight from your shoulders. Let me remove the burden that you're carrying. Oftentimes, our minds and emotions feel the weight of these burdens, don't they? And it's surprising how interlinked they are. If you're hurting physically, it can affect you emotionally, spiritually, and the like, right? Mentally, your state is affected by the way you feel physically. Isn't that interesting? And vice versa. If you are mentally depressed and emotionally downtrodden for whatever reason, it will affect you physically. It will. If you are anxious and if you are have a lot of anxiety in your life and frustration and stress, it will affect you physically. There's no doubt about it. Stress is like a poison. Stress is like a poison. If you study stress, you will find that medically it's like a poison. It can be really dangerous. Okay, so it's really interesting to study how each of these things affects the other. Okay, but Jesus is beckoning us and he says, you know, do you think that he knew that we would bear burdens? Do you think that he recognizes the weight in his children that they carry because of this or because of that? You better believe he does. You better believe he does. How many of us don't feel it when our own children are suffering for whatever reason? Oh, we feel it. Sometimes we feel it worse than our loved one would. I remember 15 years of back problems. My wife suffered as much as I did, if not more. Those that are the caretakers suffer for the one who is suffering. Jesus knew this. He recognized that. And so he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Sometimes we look at the situation and we think, "How in the world am I going to get out of this? How in the world am I ever going to get through this?" And it would seem as though these mountains, can we call them that? These challenges, they just look like mountains. And they're all around us. And we're here stuck in the valley. And we're looking at all of these problems all around us. And we're thinking in our minds, how am I going to care for these problems? How am I going to take care of these things? And you worry yourself sick. And your Lord calls to you, "Come to me, my child. You who are weary and burdened, let me give you rest." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? As we watch the television, we see on the news more and more and more violence over less and less important things. More and more violence. We're seeing more and more a straying from the truth. We're seeing more and more of a refusal, if you will, a denial, a rejection of God and anything that represents righteousness. They don't want anything to do with it, and they're vicious about it. They're vicious. And these things would turn our stomachs, and they would elevate our blood pressure, and they would cause anxiety as we watch them day after day, and as things escalate, and as tensions escalate in the world, and it would cause anxiety within us. And the Lord says, come away. Come away, my child. Rest in me. Rest in me. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. And listen to what it says. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what he's saying, can we have that picture back up here of those oxen and that yoke? He's saying, put yourself back in the yoke. Allow yourself to be yoked together with me. Why? To learn, so that I can teach you, so that I can help you. Take my yoke upon you. It's as if we have to submit and be willing to give up our rights, in a sense. Can you see that? In a sense, we are giving up our own rights to lead our own lives. Does that make sense to you? We're saying, God, I recognize my inability to do righteous stuff with my life. I need you. And so we submit to his authority. We commit to him. We commit ourselves to him. And we're saying, yes, go ahead. Put your yoke around my neck. Yoke me to you. Attach me to you so that I can learn from you. So there must be a willingness to submit and a willingness to commit. Do you see that? Because unless we do that, God is not able to help us. We have to recognize our need for God in our lives, and we have to submit and say, I recognize my own inability to do this. And because of that, I commit myself to you. Teach me how to follow you. Teach me how to follow you. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. There's no whip here. There's no stick. I am gentle and humble in heart. And you, listen to this, you will find rest for your souls. That's the second time he's mentioned that in these scriptures. All you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will what? Give you rest. And if you do these things, take my yoke upon you, and if you will learn from me, submit yourselves to me. I'm gentle and I'm humble, and I will give you rest for your souls. You will find rest. You will be able to, yeah, take a breath. You will be able to just chill and rest in the Lord. Wednesday, when we were together praying, I want to invite you. There is something special about Wednesday night prayer meeting. Is that right, friends? Yes. Those of you who come here, you know it, you recognize it, and you feel it, as do I. Something special here on Wednesday night, 6:30. So Wednesday night we were here, and we were talking to each other and sharing testimonies and scripture, and the Lord just dropped on me a memory of when I was in Israel. And I told you this story But the Lord was just bringing that back to me and, in a sense, applying it and making it relevant to me. And in Israel, Shabbat, the Sabbath, is so very, very important. And all of Israel, Jerusalem, is erupted with joy as the families prepare and they gather together to celebrate Shabbat, to celebrate the Sabbath. All right? So when everybody gets out of work, they celebrate that on Saturday, okay? So when everybody gets out of work on Friday, Jerusalem is a madhouse and everybody's excited. And the marketplaces are filled with people singing, even dancing, and all of the little stores and little shops, they're not the size of our prayer room in there. They're just holes in the wall, and people go there and they'll pick up their bread. They'll go there and they'll pick up their wine or whatever the case may be. Things that they're going to have for the family gathering so that on Saturday, the Sabbath, they don't have to go out. All right. Do you remember in the Bible when the Israelites were in need of food? And so they whined to Moses about it. They did a lot of whining back then. They whined to Moses about it. Moses goes to God and says, these people need food. God does what? He provides what? Manna. Every morning, okay? Every morning the people were to go out and collect this manna that God would drop during the night somehow, and they would go and collect it. Now, they were only to collect the amount of manna they needed for what?
That day.
For that day only, except for the day before the Sabbath. They would go out and collect twice as much, okay? Now, if they collected more than they needed for that day, it would rot, and it would get worms in it. Do you remember reading that? Okay? And in this way, the people prepare for the Sabbath. They go out on Friday night, and they gather everything that they're going to need for the next day, for all the families coming over to mom and dad's place, and they're going to have a big meal, and they're going to be there all together all day. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And everybody, it's like the whole place is excited about it. It's beautiful. And then as they're there together the next day for the Shabbat meal together, it's a very special thing. And it's broken up into these different sections, if you will. And there's a prayer of over the wine. And he'll sing a song about how God has blessed the wine. And then it goes on, they'll eat something else, and then they'll a prayer of blessing over that. And then after they eat together, and it's a very peaceful and joyful thing, and everybody's talking over the top of everybody else. It's awesome. But it comes to this one place towards the end of the evening where the father stands up and he begins to sing a song of blessing, a song of blessing over his children, one by one. And he stands up and he's just singing this song about how beautiful his children are and characteristics that each child has and how blessed he is to have that child. And you know what the children do? The younger ones, they crawl up on daddy's lap. And you know what they do? They just lean into him. They just lean into daddy as daddy's arms are wrapped around them. And daddy's singing a song of blessing over them. And they get this big old smile on their face and they're a little embarrassed, you know. But all the attention is on them. And then he'll go to the other one and he'll sing a song of blessing over the other one. And then he gets to mama, and he pulls mama close, and he sings a song of how God has blessed his life with this beautiful woman. This Proverbs, if you will, 31 woman, as it talks about in the Bible. And he sings a song of blessing over his family. And they all just press into Daddy. They just all lean in on Daddy, and it's just so beautiful. Do you know that God the Father desires to sing songs of blessing over you, his children? How much he loves you, how much he desires to remove the weight of the world from your shoulders. How much he desires for you to just lean into him. How much he cherishes you, his children. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? The Lord sings a song over you and I, his children. And if we will, we can come. And it's hard for sometimes us men even, or those of us who have not had a good relationship with our Father. It's hard for us to think of God that way. But you know what? We need to get over it. We need to think of God that way, because that's the way he is. He is not an earthly father. He is our heavenly Father, a perfect Father. Amen. A perfect Father. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not going to beat us into submission. He's gentle. And he's humble of heart. A loving, compassionate father. Does he have standards that we must abide by? Yes, he does. But he's saying, come to me. I want to help you to rest. I want to be able to remove the things that worry you, your anxiety, your fears, your depression. I want to remove those things from you. I can't get out of my head the look on these children's faces. And I didn't really understand it all at the time. But as I read the scriptures and God brings those things back to me, I see the preciousness of this. I see the specialness of it. And the heart of God towards you and I, his children, his sons and his daughters. It's just beautiful. Have you ever thought of God that way? Maybe you're here and you've never thought of God that way, of God adoring you as a son, adoring you as his baby girl, because that's the way he sees you. You're his. You were bought with a price, the Bible says. Isn't that awesome? In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, many of you know this scripture. You could recite it by heart. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They that wait upon the Lord. You see, there's a qualifying wording in there. If you do this, then this, right? If you wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings. You will soar with the wings of eagles. There is a time in an eagle's lives when they're not soaring. They go through this molting process, as many birds do. And the eagle, instead of soaring, is bound to the ground. Where eagles are not meant to be, are they? But during this time, the eagle is molting. All of his feathers are coming out. And as beautiful as eagles are, they look horrid. They look horrid. They're terrible. And they're crying out with these loud screeches. And they won't eat. They won't eat. And they stay on the ground and they wander around on the ground. If they don't, and this is a really serious challenge in an eagle's life, if you will, because sometimes the eagles can't get out of it. You know, and as we think about this, it's the same in our own lives. If we don't force ourselves to get out of the depression, if we don't force ourselves to get rid of the weight that we're carrying, we're going to stay on the ground where we were never meant to be spiritually. Do you understand? We were meant to soar like eagles, free by the Spirit of God in our lives. And so what happens is the eagles, as they're shedding all of their feathers, they're wandering around on the ground. They don't move fast. They're in pain and they don't eat and they begin to lose weight and they have no strength. And you know what happens? The eagles that are flying above them begin to call to them. The eagles that are flying and have been through this process, they're looking down and they see another eagle down there on the ground. And they begin to screech and to cry out to that eagle that is in the midst of its own depression, really. And you know what they do? They will even take pieces of food and they'll drop it over the top of them. And they call to them, "Take it and eat it. You need it to nourish your body, to make you strong." Friends, isn't it the same with our spirits? And our friends and our family beckon to us. And God beckons to us. Come to me with your fears and your anxiety. Come to me with your depression and all the stuff that you're carrying around. Just lay it down. Take nourishment to your soul. Be strengthened. Fly where you are meant to fly. Soar on the wings of eagles. And so all of these other eagles are looking down on this one, and they're dropping food from the sky so that he will eat. Take it and eat it. And they're calling, screeching to him. And little by little, if that eagle will take those pieces of food, because they can't hunt. They can't hunt. So they are dependent on the others. Isn't that interesting? And little by little, they'll take that food and eat it and nourish themselves. And pretty soon, that eagle is standing back up again on its feet, and its strength is growing, and its countenance is beginning to change. Its feathers are beginning to come back in. And all the while, these other eagles are feeding it and swooping down on it, swooping down and almost touching him. Sometimes they'll peck at him just like that. Get up! Move it! Get off your rear end! Can we say that in church? Sometimes we need that, don't we? Sometimes we need a little smack, a little tap. To wake us up out of our slumber. God's beckoning us. Come to me. I want to help you. Lean into me as I sing over you. You're my children. I love you. I adore you. I just think that is so beautiful. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You're trusting in the Lord. You're waiting on him. You've given the struggle to the Lord. You're taking on that yoke of the Lord, and you're yoking yourself to the God of the universe. You're yoking yourself to the Savior. And allowing him to train you. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, help us. Help us to wait on you. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, turn there with me. Jesus demonstrated this very thing. Even in ministry, there are times when you need to just come away, to just step back away from all the hustle and bustle and just breathe. Just breathe. Take in some time alone with the Lord. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, I'm going to start in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Remember, this is after Jesus had sent out the 12 and they went in pairs. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, listen now, come with me by yourselves. Where? To a quiet place. Why? And get some rest. Come away with me. Come away. Friends, family. It's important to come away and rest. Not only physically, but spiritually. Come away. Take your burdens. You know, we have an altar here. An altar. And that altar, we can bring our concerns. We can bring those burdens and we can lay them down there. And we can symbolically take them off of our shoulders and we can leave them there at the altar, in a sense, at the foot of the cross. Amen. I believe that the Lord is desiring for you to come and to do that today, to just lay it down. We're here among friends and family. A lot of us are traveling, it looks like. But we have a place that we can come, a God that loves and desires for us to come and lay down the burdens that we're carrying. Isn't that beautiful? Man, I fail to see in other religions this caring, loving relationship that we have with our Lord. It's non-existent. It is not like that. I remember talking to a lady one time in a hospital room, hospital waiting area, and she was, I don't even remember what I think it was Buddhist. And so we began to talk about that. I told her I was a pastor, and that kind of usually makes the room really quiet. And and so we just began to talk. I just began to ask her some questions, you know, just trying to keep things light and stuff. So she began to tell me a little bit about her religion, and then she asked me about mine, and I began to tell her as well. She got this puzzled look on her face, like, why do you worship like that? And I said, because there's a relationship between us and the Lord. And I said, we love our God, we love the Lord, he sacrificed himself for us to cover our sin, to wash away our sin and make us clean again. And she just had this, she could not relate to that. She could not relate to that. And I said, isn't it that way in yours? And I knew this was a little strategic, but I said, isn't it that way in yours? And she says, no, not at all. And I says, do you go on a regular basis? She says, well, no, I don't. And she said, basically, we're trying to do things to make our God happy. We're trying to appease our God. And I said, okay, I understand. And as she had to go, and then while I was waiting, she came back, and there was just a minute or two before we had to leave. And So as I was leaving, I said to her, I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God helps you to find the truth. And she says, okay, thank you. You know, I don't know if she meant it, but I said, because if we're not seeking the truth, what's the point? What's the point? And so I said, I'm going to pray that God helps you to find the truth. Amen? That's what we need, friends. We need the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Bill, can I have you come to the keyboard right now? Friends, the Lord, your God, desires that you just come and just lay it down. Press into him, lean against him, take the weight off of your shoulders and just leave it with him. Whether it be physical, whether it be relational, whether it be mental, whether it be financial, again, you can fill in the blank. Bring those things. The Bible says that we can call him Abba, Father, Daddy. I love the way George says it, Heavenly Daddy, you know, and he is our Heavenly Daddy. Would you stand with me today? Heavenly Father, I just pray for these brave people that have come forward this morning. Oh Lord, I pray your peace upon them as they lay down their burdens, Heavenly Father. I pray that you would watch over them. I pray that your Spirit would just wash over them, Father God. Shower them with your love and your peace. And may all the worries and fears and anxieties be washed away in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would take away confusion. I pray that you would bring clarity in decision making. I pray that you would forgive sins. I pray that you would open doors that they in their minds could not see opening. But with God, all things are possible. I pray your blessing and your favor and your peace upon them. And Lord, if there are those in their seats today that would desire to lay down their burdens, I pray that you would do that for them. I pray that you would touch them and heal their wounded and broken hearts, Heavenly Father. I pray that you would lift their countenance, Lord Jesus, as the eagle that is going through that molting process is downtrodden, and as it begins to take nourishment, is strengthened, and those feathers begin to come in, and pretty soon it's strong and can fly again. Do that with us, Heavenly Father, spiritually. May we leave here today feeling 100 pounds lighter, Lord, spiritually, and may those weights come off of our shoulders, and may we have the joy of our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.